This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Keep it rolling. You got some happier hosts. Not because Matt Fortuna has left the building. Thank you to Matt Fortuna. Great stuff. Marquette. Coming home, baby. Here we go.
My money, honey.
Here we go.
Shake it out.
Short underdog. Shaka as a dog. Coming through 64-63. Marquette on the road. Beating Kansas State. Goodness gracious. Betting Shaka Smart as a dog has been enjoying, has been beautiful. I think he's 4-0 as outright as a dog. 4-2 against the spread, 4-0, though.
It was definitely a sweat.
Outright wins. It was a sweat, but we got there. All right, let's not waste any more time, though, because we got a great guest coming on. Good friend of ours. Staying up late for us there in the Twin Cities, it is Paul Charchian. Mr. Charch, how are you on this Wednesday evening?
I'm doing great. Good to talk to you again, guys. I know it's been a few weeks, but I'm delighted to be back on the show.
Let's stick right where you sit. Not in your house, but in that city.
You're welcome here.
I need to know, with Thielen out, Cook questionable.
Yeah.
KJ Osborne, his props have been zoop flying. I think it was like 34.5 receiving yards. Now, last look at DraftKings, 41.5. What is your expectation of KJ Osborne on Thursday night with the news of Thielen officially being ruled out?
Okay, here's what most people don't know about KJ Osborne, and I'm glad to have a chance to break this down a little bit for you. First thing to understand, Thielen and Jefferson comprised 81% of the team's wide receiver targets. So they were getting basically all of it. So, and KJ Osborne was the slot receiver. So the real question that people need to understand is KJ Osborne going to stay the slot receiver, or are they going to use him to go run Thielen's routes where he'd be part of that 81% of pass plays that were going to those guys? And here's the answer. The next receiver up is Dede Westbrook. He's only a slot receiver. They're going to kick KJ Osborne out. He's going to run the Thielen routes, and that's going to potentially put him on a good game here, especially if Joe Hayden doesn't go as expected. So I like the over in this one, and I think Osborne, he's not going to do everything Thielen can do, and he's not as good as Thielen, but he's not bad. And, again, running those routes, I like the over here.
So let's stick with the Vikings wide receivers. Justin Jefferson went nuts, you know, against the Lions. He's done that a handful of times this year. So, you know, as bookmakers, they can't go crazy. They can't go overboard because then you're going to get people pounding the under. So they've set the number at 92.5. That's a high number, but Jefferson has been one to get triple digits quite often. No, as we've talked about, no Thielen. How often is Kirk Cousins looking towards Jefferson come Thursday night?
He'll throw to Jefferson with abandon, and even if the Steelers, as they should, will double cover Jefferson and put extra attention on him, a lot of times it just doesn't matter. Jefferson is arguably the league's best route runner. He gets so much separation, and he's so crafty. They'll manufacture ways to get him the ball. I think there's almost no chance they decoy him here. We've seen Jefferson go over that 91 in first halves of games, and that is potentially on target here too. I lean over on Jefferson as well, and just because I'm taking over on Osborne at whatever 41 doesn't mean we can't also go over on Jefferson. Both those things are not mutually exclusive.
And then just sticking with that game to put a bow on it, Charch, as we talked to Paul Charchian, always appreciate his insight, as always, at Paul Charchian on Twitter. Pittsburgh, Chase Claypool, you know, Deontay Johnson goes nuts last week, too. He has a big game. Najee Harris out of the backfield. Anything jumping out at you, whether it be over or under, for the Steelers come tomorrow night?
Yeah, so the emergence of tight end Pat Freiermuth has been really pretty exceptional for the Steelers, and it looks like they've got their next great young tight end. Well, maybe their only great young tight end. I can't remember another great young tight end for the Steelers. But here's what you need to know. The most important thing, Vikings getting back their linebackers that had stymied tight ends all season up until the last couple of games when Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr went out. When those guys are on the field, this is the best tight end defense in the league. And so I would be really cautious about Pat Freiermuth. I don't know his number right now.
35.5.
35 and a half. I was going to say I'm putting him on like a 29-yarder. Ooh. I would be really, really cautious here because this is the one element of the Vikings defense that has been awesome all season long with Kendricks and Barr, and they are back for this game.
And let me ask you this just real quickly because I've seen this mentioned a little bit on Twitter, and I'm curious your thoughts. So I just pulled it up at DraftKings. So it's 35 and a half receiving yards for Pat Freiermuth. His longest reception is set at 16 and a half. So from what you say about the Vikings linebackers, for him to sneak past them and get a long reception, is that less likely? So 16 and a half, is that a good look under?
It's a lot less likely. Okay. Yeah, you know, Eric Kendricks might be the best pass receiving guarding linebacker in the league. I'd show a lot of caution. I like the under 16 and a half for longest as well. You know, where Freiermuth has been really valuable is in the end zone. Vikings don't allow touchdowns either. And that's another area that you could potentially exploit here. Freiermuth is very unlikely to score because, again, no tight end had scored on this team up until the last couple of weeks.
Talking to Paul Charchian at Paul Charchian. There's just so many things going in my head right now. GuillotineLeagues.com. Make sure to check out that website as well. All right, let's get to Sunday. And, you know, what across the league? Justin Fields is back. Yeah, are there props there? Josh Allen rushing yards, I know, is one that people love to play the overs, but he's got Tampa Bay this week. Anything that's jumping out at you when you head to Sunday?
I think the most fascinating matchup for sure is Patrick Mahomes and what to do with him against the Raiders. Massive conundrum for fantasy owners and for anybody who's betting this game. So in week 10, Mahomes ambushed the Raiders for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. But the 5 games around that Las Vegas game, he was averaging 218 yards and 0.4 scores. To give you a sense of how bad 218 yards and 0.4 scores is, one NFL quarterback is worse than that over those 5-game stretch, and it's Trevor Lawrence. That's it. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the 31st ranked quarterback other than that Raiders game over the past 6 games. And so the Raiders secondary on the whole this year has been fantastic. Casey Hayward, Nate Hobbs have been great at cornerback. The 3 of the past 5 quarterbacks to face the Raiders have been held under 196 yards. This to me is, it feels like a trap game for everybody who remembers Mahomes ambushing Las Vegas in week 10 and forgetting all of the games around it. I think this has got trap written all over it.
You know, Paul, of course we know that Darren Waller's battling some injuries and Hunter Renfrow comes to mind, but who's the other Raiders pass catcher that's going to benefit, you know, from these extra opportunities?
Well, I want to believe it's going to be Frank Moreau, but I thought that last week and I'd have been dead wrong about that. Kansas City's pass defense has been so good and it turned around. It was so bad through the first 5-6 weeks of the season, turned around almost completely here. I don't know that there is another guy that you can reasonably count on. Bryan Edwards has been totally hit and miss. DeSean Jackson, same thing. They have not been able to get any consistent production out of anybody, except you want to play a receiving prop for somebody from Las Vegas, figuring they got a pass. They're not, you know, not everybody's doing a whole lot. The angle might really be Josh Jacobs. Kansas City allows the 8th most receptions and the 3rd most receiving yards to running backs. So if you want a receiving over to take from the Raiders, Josh Jacobs is the guy I'd go with, not knowing what the line is, but I'm tempted to take Josh Jacobs.
Talk once again to Paul Charchian at Paul Charchian on Twitter. Didn't mess it up that time. there in the Twin Cities. Charch, you know, a guy that if you look back 2 weeks ago on Monday Night Football, just looked horrendous, and that was Russell Wilson. Bouncing back a little bit. Now he's got the Houston Texans this week. And, you know, looking at Russell Wilson, over-under sitting at 239.5. They're on the road, but they're at Houston. Is this a spot? Is Russell starting to get, you know, back a little bit from that injury? Are you feeling confident with Russell Wilson right now?
No, not at all confident, because we've seen so many bad games from Russell Wilson. And I'm not going to just chase last week's game. But then again, it's Houston. They've allowed the 3rd most passing yards in the league, and there's a strong temptation to test him here. Russell Wilson has topped the meager threshold of 230 yards He's top 230 yards. He's only top 230 yards in the past two games. I don't feel like I can trust him. The only upside here is Houston, again, giving up a lot of passing yards. And normally they also give up a lot of running yards, a lot of rushes, but nobody can run the ball for Seattle. I don't know. Can I just take an avoid and say, I don't want to put any money on Russell Wilson, because we've all been burned too many times.
Matt, I'm not allowing you. No. No.
What, you don't have to bet everything, Sean.
Listen, Russell Wilson is...
Oh, am I talking...
Elite. He obviously came back before the hand was healthy. Now the hand's healthy. You got to take him against the Texans.
Well, but Sean, but even when the hand was healthy, he wasn't doing much, and he was not giving us any kind of reliable output before then either. So I don't know. I just, you know.
All right, cigar bet. Me and you have a cigar bet that Russell goes over on all of these props. And when I come to Minnesota, I'm going to get me a fine stick to smoke.
That's all right. I mean,
how do you like whiskey? Can we make it a whiskey bet?
That works too.
Yeah. Well, and he's now chasing because he's been losing these cigar bets left and right.
By the way, I just had my order of Blanton's come in. Just got my six bottles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get six bottles of Blanton? Did you get different tops on all six?
No, there's just no people in high places.
All right, Charts, before we let you run, let's go back to your heart. 20 seconds. Your Vikings, a 3-point favorite tomorrow night. What happens?
Wrong team's favored. I think this is a save Mike Zimmer's job moment, and I don't think this locker room's got it in them. I don't think they're going to rally around Mike Zimmer. I think he's a dead man walking. Team knows it. I don't think they're going to rally. I think they're going to lose.
Listen to Charts, cheer up, man. It's the nightcap here on VSiN.
4
Stradamus, look up. I'm not digging. I'm just telling the people what the score is.
Yeah, 2-1.
2-1. You're on the Dallas Stars. Your reasoning being?
Dallas is one of the better teams in the NHL. They've won 7 games in a row. And, you're getting plus points. You don't get those opportunities that often with really good teams. Vegas is playing really good. They're starting to get healthy, but I thought there was some value with the red-hot quality Dallas team, so I took it.
We were happy. We saw Marquette come home.
Yes.
Doesn't matter how.
Great to see.
Gets home 64-63. Marquette, Shaka Smart as a dog. I think our guy Jim Root also mentioned that on Twitter today. So, you know, when bright minds, or at least, you know, yours and Jim, and then I just kind of come in and say, yeah, I'll piggyback off you. But
that's about right.
We've said it on this show. Anytime Shaka Smart is a dog, it's probably a good thing to back. I think they're 4-2 as a dog this year, and those 4 times covering, they won outright. So they went outright today. They were plus 1.5. They get it home. So nice to see that one come home. And just kind of bouncing around a little bit from let's start with Charch, because you – I don't know if we've – yeah, we opened the show a little bit with this, with Pittsburgh. I don't really want anything to do with this game.
Yeah, me either.
It's a Thursday night standalone game, so I'll be honest. I'll probably end up betting something. I am fascinated by the KJ Osborne situation. And, you know, what Charge kind of alluded to, I thought was a great point, right? This is what Charge does. You know, he's kind of one of the OGs when it comes to fantasy football. And he talked about, okay, what's going to happen with Thielen out? KJ Osborne's a slot receiver. Well, D.D. Westbrook's the backup. He's a slot receiver. They're going to bump out K.J. Osborne. So he said he still likes Osborne over 41.5. He still leans towards the over on Justin Jefferson. But this is interesting to hear, because he's there every day in the Twin Cities. He's a Vikings fan, and he said the wrong team's favorite. He believes that this team is, I don't know if he said quit, but he doesn't feel like they're going to rally behind Mike Zimmer, which kind of sounded like they're going to quit.
See, I was going to bet Pittsburgh if everybody was like Minnesota's covering.
Right.
I don't like when people.
Well, he's just one man.
Yeah, I just.
We'll get the.
I still.
We can get the
I'm
splits.
Still a little salty, even though I had a money line against the Ravens, so I kind of got a little bit of the salt out of my mouth. Remember,
Go
their inability to beat the Raiders in week two, who are traveling cross country on a short
Man,
week, is why I'm not
that
a survivor.
That long of a grudge?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's almost $6 million. You know the amount of iced coffees I could buy with $6 million? Jeez.
They cost about what, $3-4 a pop?
Yeah, so iced coffee for life.
Many.
Mm-hmm.
Over a million.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I'm a big iced coffee guy. You feel like it still gives you the same jolt as a regular cup
of
coffee?
I just like it because it tastes good, to be honest.
So no Adam Thielen.
So
no
Dalvin. What are your what's your play for Pittsburgh, Minnesota?
I got to roll with KJ Osborne over.
Okay.
That is going to be my play. So we'll see.
So you're not going to touch the game.
So he's going to get one reception for 6 yards, and Justin Jefferson's going to have 14 for 233. No, I also there's a bunch of people out there in the prop market, fantasy market that I respect. Charch being one, Brad being another, and it's very interesting to see. You know, Brad puts up all his plays on Twitter, and it's worth checking out at Noisy Huevos. And he had under Pat Freiermuth and over KJ Osborne, over Kirk Cousins passing yards. And I thought what Charch said about Freiermuth and the defense of the Vikings getting was really interesting.
Yeah. Getting those backers back. When I looked at this, the first thing I thought was under 43.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I could see that.
I could see this being a game where both defenses dominate. Field goals are kicked instead of touchdowns scored. Yeah, I could see it being a 20-17 type game easy.
If this gets a 3.5, I got to play the Steelers. And I might look, it's a standalone game on a Thursday, so I might end up playing the Steelers regardless. But Minnesota, I mean, look at all their games they play this year, Sean. Every game is frustratingly close. If you're a Vikings fan or a Vikings backer, it just feels like every single game, Sean, is close. And I do wonder about this Vikings team, to what Charch said. You know, what's their mentality right now? They're 5-7. They still got a chance to make the playoffs, but he just lost to the Lions. I mean, every game this year, Sean, they lose by 3 to the Bengals in overtime. They lose to the Cardinals with that missed field goal. They respond. They win big against the Seahawks. Then they have that ugly game against the Browns. They get the game-winning kick against the Lions. I think they win in overtime against Carolina. Every game is close. So on Thursday night, you know, the Steelers are coming off a really big win. The Vikings coming off that loss. You know, normally this would be a spot where I would want to back the Vikings. I don't know. They're kind of in the, even though I didn't bet them last week, they're kind of in the house with the tape around it.
Yeah,
I'm
going to play the under. I just think if they play this game 10 times, it goes under 6 or 7.
Okay.
Just Thielen is kind of the security blanket for Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously without Thielen now, you can put, you know, double coverage to Jefferson. You can, you know, do some things to make it less likely that he beats you. But Dalvin Cook's your workhorse. Like, he's your guy that can handle a lot of carries.
Questionable still, right now.
Right. So even if he plays, he's more than likely not going to be 100%. And, you know, Pittsburgh, for whatever reason, just has not been explosive on offense. Minnesota's healthier now than they have been on defense. I see this being a low-scoring contest. I'm actually going to play the under.
All right. There you go. He's on the under. I'll go KJ Osborne over receiving yards and Joe Hayden out for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, something that I will roll with there. Who would you? We haven't done it yet, but we're down to 23 folks left in Survivor.
Wow! By the way, T.J. Watt's gonna have a field day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has 16 sacks. He's leading the NFL, and Kirk Cousins can't move.
He can move better than Ben.
I don't know about that. Because at least Ben's strong, so, like, he might not go places, but he can shake you off.
His feet are in cement, man.
So, yeah, so, like, Kirk is out there with ankle weights on. Like I told my guy on Sunday, I think he's got the heaviest shoes in the NFL, because there cannot be an NFL-caliber athlete that's as slow as Kirk Cousins. Him and Brady in a foot race right now, I'm telling you, Brady's probably minus 250 to win.
So coming up, bottom of the hour, we've got an exercise. We're going to take a look at where we stand right now, remaining schedules, and who we think will make the AFC and the NFC playoffs. So I guess like 3/4 of the way done, where we think, how we think this will all shape out. Just looking at survivor options this week as you're down to 23. So we've got Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Baltimore at Cleveland, Tennessee at home against Jacksonville. If you've got Tennessee available, I don't have that matrix in front of me.
I'm pulling it up now.
Got the Jets at home to New Orleans. Taysom Hill should be cleared. He should be good to go.
Like, that's not what you want if you want to back the Saints. You hope he doesn't play.
Who are we going to get in there?
Anybody's better.
Ian Book?
Anyone's better.
Time to open the book up. Yeah. Chargers home to the Giants. Probably Chargers have been utilized quite a bit. So, Green Bay is one of the biggest favorites of the week. They're home to Chicago. But once again, they've either been used or you're saving them for Christmas Day. Do you think Green Bay laying that big number? Justin Fields is back. That news coming out today.
Okay.
Night game, Lambeau Field. As we saw last time, Aaron Rodgers told the whole city of Chicago and their fan base, I own you, with a couple different words in there. And then today, he doubled down on it, which I loved. Does Green Bay come out and smash Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago's done. This should be a cakewalk for the Packers, actually. And before the 28 went down to 25, 13 of the 28 had already used Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean that there are quite a few more than half, that's still 15 to be exact, that have Green Bay available. I'm not sure the five that lost, where they're at on this matrix, but I would see a lot of people in Circus Survivor having Green Bay this week. Home, big favorite.
The tricky part is Green Bay plays on Christmas Day against Cleveland.
Well, at this point, I got to get.
That's true. I mean, that's the way you have to look at it because Arizona and Indianapolis early on in the year, another Christmas Day game looked like, okay, Arizona's going to be a lock. Not a lock, but yeah,
they're
play.
Still a lock.
Indianapolis is playing really well.
And a lot of people, 17 people had Arizona available. So a lot of people are saving Arizona for Christmas.
Now, do you flip-flop because it's Cleveland? Cleveland preseason you thought might be available, so.
Nah, I'm going Green Bay.
Green Bay this
week? Yeah, I got to get them next week.
That's true.
Yeah.
With 23 left, you got to survive and advance. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. We'll take a look at the playoff situation in both the AFC and the NFC. Who do we think will be headed to the postseason come mid-January? It's the Nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN holiday offer is here. Right now, when you sign up for our $99 mid-season football special, you'll also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, this is a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. Already one winner in the books. We're feeling good. We got Marquette home running 64-63 as a short dog on the road. Thank you very much, Shaka Smart as a dog. And now Puckstradamus with his new piece to the wardrobe, the OG Mickey hat.
I appreciate that.
With Puckstradamus on the back. Yeah. I guess it's so far so good. Now we're only halfway home, so I don't want to mush or jinx anybody, but your star is up 3-1 right now.
Yeah, I think, and listen, I just thought there was value there. Dallas is really good, but the one team that I know in the National Hockey League that you're never safe is the Vegas Knights. Like, they can score a bunch of goals in a hurry, so I'm glad I'm up 3-1 instead of down 3-1, but I'm not at all in a position where I feel like, okay, 3 will be enough. Dallas will need to score a couple more goals. Vegas is really, really good offensively.
So we will keep an eye on that midway through the second period. Stars leading the Knights 3-1. We got a little hoops going on right now. Golden State and Portland, 50 to 47. No Dame time, as he is out for the fifth consecutive game there.
I'm hearing whispers that Dame might be finally willing to be put on the trading block.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there's a team in Los Angeles. Maybe Russell Westbrook can be traded again.
And I brought that up to say this. The most likely landing spot would be Philly. Would it be wise to go ahead and put a wager on Philly now to win the Eastern Conference and to win it all? Because if they get
Dame,
then the course, your odds are going to drop significantly. And get ahead of that.
So team, you see right there, the Sixers to win the East 9-1 at DraftKings to win it all 22-1.
I mean,
look, if Dame goes to Philadelphia,
they're the favorites.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, Dame Lillard,
yeah,
Curry, little brother. Like, they got a bunch of other pieces. I don't know what they'd have to give up. I don't know that Ben Simmons is a one-for-one swap with Dame Lillard.
Well, but the offers that Philadelphia's been putting out there, reportedly, they think he's more than a one-for-one. They think they should be, you know, getting more. But that would be a fascinating situation. And certainly Dame, I mean, I would love to see him in that situation.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and make that wager today.
All right.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that because I don't see any other landing spot that makes sense. Because even if he was sent to Boston for Jaylen Brown or somebody, I don't think that's enough to get Boston, you know, over the hump. Philly's the one team where if that trade's made, in my opinion at least, now they can go bucket for bucket with the Bucks when healthy.
Bucks, and, I mean, who knows if Kyrie's ever going to play this
who's
year.
Kyrie?
Exactly. That's what people in Brooklyn are saying.
Yeah, we
right
talk
now
about players that play.
Golden State's odds are down to 6-1. You know,
to win it all, that's not bad, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's not bad. The way they're playing.
And I know Klay's coming back. I just have questions about the Warriors in a seven-game series. Now, look, they've done it before, obviously.
Multiple times, by the way.
Well, two of those times they had Kevin Durant.
Still the Warriors, right? That was the jersey he had on.
That was?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
He was pretty good, though. He was MVP of both those series that they won.
They had won two before he got there.
They had won one. They lost one.
Okay.
Lost to the Cavs. So, I mean, look, Steph's playing out of his mind. I think it's 6-1. It's a pass for me, but, I mean, they're fun to watch. They're 20-4 right now. Phoenix is playing really well. Phoenix 10-1 as well. So, I think that's the way you need to look. If you can get a long shot odds and he gets traded there, those odds are going to get sliced in half.
And if he doesn't get traded, you still have a good ticket on a team that, what were they, some kind of way the Hawks beat them, or they were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. I had the Sixers to win that series.
I actually got Milwaukee Bucks last year, 16-1.
Nice.
To win the NBA championship.
Beautiful.
I actually watched this. First time I was ever in Derek Stevens' beautiful Circle Sportsbook was Game 6 of the Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns. And I had my ticket in my pocket. I didn't bet it here. I actually had a proxy bet it at Venetian.
Okay.
But I watched the game here. Place was crazy.
I was watching that game in the Poconos in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Watching the Bucks take care of business. Then I was in Milwaukee the day of the parade.
Nice. Did you go?
No. Getting out of town. I don't do parades. I'm good.
I've been in a couple of them, so they're actually pretty good if you're on the floats.
I have not.
Yeah.
I've not been invited to be in a parade, a championship parade.
I did Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
I was like the head guy at one of the Mardi Gras parades.
You should have won the Heisman Trophy in 1998.
Phew, who you telling?
All right, let's get to a little exercise that Aaron Oster, our producer, suggested. And we said, yeah, that's a good idea. So let's get to the NFC.
I don't want to do this. Because I couldn't find the out.
You want to pull up cigar bets?
Nope.
I mean, we can if you want.
No, I'm good.
No, you sure?
All right, come on.
All right, NFC, who will make the playoffs? We got some odds there. Who will win the division? I think the divisions are pretty straightforward. We've got Packers, Bucks, Cards, Cowboys, all four of those teams currently leading their division. And, Sean, you and I both all believe that they will all come true. Packers and Buccaneers, I think they're going to lock it up within a week or two. Cowboys, things get a little interesting if they lose this weekend to Washington. Yeah. I really need Washington to start losing. This is annoying.
Did my predictions ever make it to, like, the actual television feet?
I don't know.
I saw him on the side.
Okay. There we go.
That's what the people want to see.
Yeah, people.
Yeah.
So the Rams, a wild card team, Sean.
Yeah. So
what's that about?
Earlier in the show, I said that this kind of ruined my day because I don't think the Rams are very good. I think Matthew Stafford is extremely overrated. I think the Rams' run defense is one of the worst in the National Football League. But because they got off to such a great start and the majority of the rest of the NFC outside of about four teams didn't, I just couldn't make the numbers make sense.
Mm.
I tried to, if Seattle got hot or Minnesota got hot or Carolina or Atlanta, like I tried every possible scenario and none of them like were, none of them made any sense unless the Rams like go 1-4 down the stretch. And even then, like some other teams had to really, really pick it up. So I think you're going to win that cigar bet because I do think the Rams are going to end up making the playoffs. They're going to,
I don't care.
The car is going to barely get there, but it's going to get inside the gate right before it closes.
It's almost like when you said that and I said, who's going to get in other than them when you look at their record?
Well, I was feeling myself that day.
Yeah, you were. That's all right. You know, genius is lonely. Some people told me that.
Now,
got Washington making it, though, and I think that's interesting.
And I was this close
mm-hmm.
to having Washington as the NFC East division winner. They still play the Cowboys twice.
If they win this weekend, Sean, it gets really interesting.
It does.
It gets really interesting. Man, Washington, what are we doing? You're 2-6, and you're really going to do this now.
Oh, yeah, that ticket's dead.
I need the Eagles. So Washington has two games with the Eagles, two games with the Giants. Two games with the Eagles, two games with the Cowboys. That's our next four games.
Right.
And
then one with the Giants.
They're going to win that game.
Right. The Cowboys have two at Washington, one with the Giants, one with the Eagles, but they have Arizona in there.
Yeah.
The problem is Dallas has a two-game lead already.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much have to believe that Washington's going 4-1 down the stretch at minimum, and both wins are
against Dallas.
And the four out of the four wins, two of them are going to be the Cowboys. I just don't know if they can beat the Cowboys twice in 3 weeks.
Hopefully, they lose twice to the Cowboys.
Why are you hating on Washington?
Because I have under 8.5 wins.
Yeah, that's dead.
Not dead.
It's dead.
Go Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, you and the mustache going to fall out.
Yeah, dude, come on. You see how fired up he was? All right, my wild card teams, I did not enjoy this exercise in the wild card. The Rams are just going to get in. 49ers, I like the way that they're playing right now. However, San Francisco, what's their strength of schedule here? It's middle of the pack. Rams, Titans, but I like them in both of those games. Bengals, and they play the Texans and Falcons. So I like the 49ers. I think they're playing better. And then it was either Washington or Philadelphia. One of those teams is getting in. I'm betting on my bet will come home. And that is Washington tripping over itself. So
you should go bet $1 million on the Rams.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. Why would I bet $1 million on the Rams?
To be able to make the playoffs.
Nah.
Minus 1,000. Pick up easy.
I'm good. I got a 1-for-1 cigar bet going on.
Yeah, I lost.
Yeah, I got that one in the book. Cincinnati made the playoff, too, with an undefeated record. Victory! Go to the AFC. A little more changing on the other side.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Bowl Betting Guide is almost here with everything you need to bet smarter on every bowl game. This year's guide provides matchup analysis on every bowl game, including insights, trends, data, and predictions to help you make your best bets. The guide is designed to give you an edge whether you are betting on every game, playing contests, or just want to find a few key high-value props. The guide drops December 13th, less than a week. Make sure to get your copy today for only $19.99. VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe. I'll have a couple games written up in there. I'll be writing up the Pinstripe Bowl, Battle of the Hokies and the Terps.
Is that Louisiana?
Pinstripe is, that would be New York City.
Oh, yeah, New York. That's right.
Been to the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah, that's right.
I've sat in that stadium and watched.
Where do they play that game?
Yankee Stadium.
Yankee Stadium.
Yep. It'll be cold, and Aaron Oster will be flying back east to check out his Terps. How's Michael Oxley feeling? You were just talking to him.
He's good, man. They're excited. They're fired up.
Hokies and Terps.
By the way, I don't know if you saw this today, and this is a death blow, in my opinion, to Brian Kelly. Corey Raymond.
Yeah, he's going to Florida.
Going to Florida.
Yep. I saw that. And he was initially reportedly going to stay on that staff.
You've seen all the DBs that have come out of LSU? Corey Raymond recruited every one of them.
I believe they call that DBU.
That is a huge loss. Huge.
I think Brian Kelly is a very, very accomplished coach. I think this is a bad fit, just program-wise, but we'll see. Don't hate the player, hate the game. I'd take the $95 million, but it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. A couple tweets that I just want to throw your way before we get back to our predictions for the AFC to play out. Kenny White also going to join us top of the hour. John Canzano, who is as piped in with Oregon as anyone out there, columnist for the Oregonian, just tweeted out, actually has a couple tweets. Last 15 minutes is what he's tweeted. Oregon has asked permission to interview Cal head coach Justin Wilcox.
Waste of time.
Oregon has talked to BYU coach Kalani Sitake about their coaching vacancy.
That makes sense.
Oregon is also talking with at least two other candidates. One of those is in the NFL.
Joe Brady.
Ooh.
That makes sense. Young. You know, I'm tell you this.
As a head coach, is he ready to run a program, Joe Brady?
Well, I mean.
32. By the way, you know who should call, who should be wooing Joe Brady? Mario Cristobal. He's a Miami guy. That offense.
Yeah.
That would be a good fit. Yeah. Brian Kelly should also be wooing Joe Brady. Hey, come on back. Let's run it back. He's going to be a hot commodity if he wants to go back to college football.
He is.
You said earlier in the show, and I know we'll get back to the AFC here, but you said earlier in the show, Oregon is not really a great job.
I didn't say it's not a great job.
It's
not
as sexy as it once
was. Right, as sexy as it once was.
Yeah.
It just isn't. Like, there are some great aspects that go along with being the head coach at Oregon, but there are a lot of things that are extremely difficult, especially for guys that are married with kids, that have families, and you're not into, like, the outdoorsy, like, walking, like, the trails in the mountains and stuff.
Sounds great,
like,
to me.
Right.
It sounds awesome.
It's not a lot of other stuff to do there.
Kalani Sitake, that makes sense. I think he has hit his peak at BYU.
It makes a lot
of sense. They're top 15 in the country right now.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
So, if you had to handicap it, would you say Kalani Sitake is the favorite to be the next head coach of Oregon?
No.
Who would you say?
They actually should bring back Willie Taggart.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
I'm just saying. I think
after
Willie,
he left, the way that he left?
I know, but I think Willie learned his lesson. He's probably one of the few guys that could really, really compete with Lincoln Riley on the recruiting trail in the state of California.
And bring you up there to be their quarterback's coach.
No. I love the great people of the state of Oregon, but nah, I'm not going to live there.
All right, let's get to the AFC. We just talked about the NFC. Not too many disagreements. Sean thinks Washington will make the playoffs. I think the Eagles, but pretty much other than that, everything stayed the same. This, the AFC, a little different. How about this? I mean, just think about a couple weeks ago. I've been doing weekly reads, updating the AFC East standings for the Yes Network, and it was always the Bills are minus 2,000 to win the division, minus 1,500. And now, Sean, they are minus 265 to win that division. You've been on it for quite some time, so I doff my cap to you. I didn't really disagree with it. I just thought maybe it was too far to come back. The Bills stub their toe a bunch. They lose in a game in which Mac Jones throws three passes. So Patriots to win the division, I think you and I are in agreement there.
Mm-hmm.
The AFC North is fascinating to me because the Steelers just beat the Ravens.
Right.
They're 6-5-1. The Bengals are getting better. The Ravens have the lead in the division. But, Sean, if you look at just strength of schedule remaining, the two teams with the hardest schedules left, Cleveland and Baltimore. Baltimore has Green Bay, the Rams, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Browns all remaining on that schedule. That is tough. Cincinnati schedule's no cakewalk. Kansas City, Baltimore, San Francisco, Browns, and Broncos. I didn't know. I just said Bengals. Bengals have won head-to-head, and I said Bengals.
Yeah, it was more of a play for me on Mike Tomlin. You know, just I trust Mike. When there's adverse conditions and everything seems to be discombobulated from the outside looking in, he kind of finds a way to right the ship and get the ship, you know, to the destination. So I think they understand that probably only one team's coming out of the North because they all play each other. So you probably got to win that division to make the playoffs. I know Baltimore has a slight cushion, but, you know, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. I'm going to go with Roethlisberger. Maybe they rally around the fact that this is the last stretch with him in a Steeler uniform. So
Pittsburgh's 14-1 right now in DraftKings to win the division.
They are.
They have the longest odds. They have double the longest odds of anyone in that division. Cleveland 6-1, which I think is crazy. Maybe it's liability built in. But Pittsburgh sitting there at 14-1 to win the division. Titans, both you and I agree here, -2,500.
And I want to take the Colts because I think the Colts are the better team now. But because the Titans have already beaten them twice, I just don't see mathematically how it happens.
And the Titans, based on remaining strength of schedule, just winning percentage, easiest schedule in the NFL. They have Steelers, 49ers, Texans, Jags, and Dolphins all remaining. Now, the Dolphins are playing better. Dolphins have a bye week. Then they should go to 7-7 following that. But, you know, I have a ticket in pocket, Titans to win the division. It was getting a little nerve-wracking there, the way they were playing.
Yes, it was.
But I think, like you said, the fact that they have the head-to-head, that's the differentiator there. So you really need to overcome, obviously, that as well. And the Colts losing was big. And then what else we got here? AFC West.
I went Chargers.
I went Chiefs.
I flipped it up just a little bit here. Yeah. I kind of was tomato. But I'm just – and I just saw on the ticker that Mike Williams has been added to the COVID list. Mm. So now Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are on the COVID list for Sunday. So keep your eyes on how that plays out. But, you know, they got the Giants in town with, I'm assuming that, who's the third string quarterback there? Did Mike Glennon, you know, get banged up? And Daniel Jones is out. So I don't know, man. But I just took the Chargers. I took a flyer on Justin Herbert.
Jake Fromm.
Yeah, Jake Fromm. Wow.
Jake from State Fromm.
You know what Jake Fromm is known for?
Yes, making Justin Fields transfer.
Oh, yes, Joe Burrow to LSU. If Kirby Smart does the right thing and starts Justin Fields over Jake Fromm, because Justin Fields is better than Jake Fromm.
Correct.
Justin never leaves and goes to Ohio State, which means Burrow doesn't leave Ohio State and go to LSU.
And yeah,
Kirby more than likely probably has a national championship now.
Now, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I thought Burrow left when Haskins got the job.
No. He left when Fields got there.
Okay. Yeah. That was a – but no, I mean, look, Kirby was really smart.
Because back then you had to sit when you transferred. So remember, Fields sat behind
– no, Fields got a waiver. He played right away.
That's right. Well, you know, it was him and Tate Martell in the battle.
Yeah. Vegas' own Tate Martell. All right, there you go. There's our look at our AFC. Who are your wild cards? Chiefs, Ravens, and Colts?
Yeah.
I got Ravens, Colts, and hold on. Bills. There you go. It is the nightcap. Kenny White. We're talking bowl games, some value spots. He'll join us next right here on the nightcap.